Welcome to episode 87 of the Transforma Tu Inglés Profesional podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Smith. Today, we have an amazing show lined up for you, and by the end of it, you will know how to translate juegos de mesa properly, understand what it means to go back to the drawing board, have a better idea of what exactly a boarding school is, know that when you have boarded a plane, you are actually on board, and finally, understand why Alistair needed a haircut 40 years ago when he was playing a board game. This podcast helps you push your business English communication skills to the next level so that you can grow professionally and achieve your international career goals. So without further ado, let's get straight into it. Enjoy! Hi everyone, today we're actually just going to focus on one particular word, and it's going to be a challenge, but we think it will be interesting for you. And what we're actually going to start with is a picture that I saw of Alistair that is probably 40 years old. And actually, Alistair was with his friends. He had a completely different haircut and he was playing a board game. And that particular word, board, is the word that we're going to be focusing on today. But as usual, Alistair is here with me to explain more. Hi, Alistair, how are you?
Hi, Daniel. Yeah, thank you for saying only 40. I think it's more like 43, but, you know, more or less. And haircut, I think it's more a case of having hair, full stop. A lot of it. A lot more than now. I think I needed a haircut would be a better observation because it was down past my shoulders. Hard to imagine now.
I have to say, like, when I saw the photo, I did have to kind of think about, you know,
who's this? Like, did you recognize who's this, who's this guy with hair?
Who is this? Why has Alistair sent me this photo?
This person, you know what I mean? This teenager with long black hair, and now I have sort of, well, almost no hair, and the bit I have is sort of gray. So, yeah, quite that's a transformation, right, right. But it is a long, I think that photo was about 1980, approximately 80, 81. So, you right, know, that is yeah. 43 years ago, and I'm 60, so do sure. The maths. I was about 17 probably in that photograph, maybe 18, 17 I think,
but still yeah. Long so it was really interesting. It was interesting because I was thinking, oh wow, you know. But it was funny as well because I did notice the game that you were playing, because it was a game that I used to play myself, but yeah, so I was kind of looking, oh, like, first I noticed you, then I noticed your hair, then I thought, okay, that's Alistair, and then I noticed the game that you were playing, you know, and the game was a board game, right?
Yeah, we were sitting at a table in the living room of my house at that time, my parents' house, obviously. Three of us, me, my brother, and a schoolmate, who I still know to this day. He might have actually sent me the photo, perhaps, I'm not sure. Maybe, so I'd never seen that photo before, or if I had, I'd totally forgotten it ever existed. And then suddenly in August, when I was with that friend who's in the photo and other old school friends from that time, somebody just sent it to my phone while I was sitting there and was like, what's this? And I went, oh my God. seeing myself and my brother, who would have been about 15 at the time, I think, 3 years younger than me, whatever that is.
Sure.
So yeah, and yeah, we are playing a board game, sitting around a table a board game. But we weren't bored.
Yeah.
I think our faces, I can't remember. We didn't look too bored, did we?
No. Yeah. You didn't look bored. Not at all. No, you look fairly entertained.
Yeah, because it wasn't a boring board game. Yeah. It was a very one we loved. We were obsessed with it, in fact. We were always playing it at that age, 17, 18.
Right. A very strategic game, isn't it?
It is.
It's a nice one. Risk.
Risk. Yeah, many of our listeners, I'm sure, will know. It's a very famous game. So we love Risk. So Risk is a board game. Interestingly, but we were not bored playing it.
That's right. That's right. And this is kind of like what, exactly. And this is exactly what we're going to focus on, this word bored, right? Because of course it can be the famous verb to be bored, you know, aburrido, you know, whatever. But also there's a moment that many Spanish speakers want to say juego de mesa, right? Juego de mesa. And whenever somebody has asked me that, I've always given them the word board game, but then immediately I've noticed that it's not something easy for Spanish speakers to sort of integrate into their vocabulary, because they're kind of like, what? What, a board game that doesn't seem, you know, like, well, is it like a game of a table that would make much more sense? But you know, a board game doesn't really make it's like difficult, right?
Yeah, they always think table game because, you know, juego de mesa, table game makes sense. Yeah. And you do usually play these things on a table. That's as in that photograph, we're sitting around a dining table playing Risk with the Risk with the board, and this is the point. So to play Risk, these kind of games, the reason in English they're not called table games, although you do usually play them on a table, they're called board games because you need a board. Now, obviously, the problem is a Spanish speaker will hear board and go, oh, board, aburrido, as you said.
That's right.
But the spelling is different. The pronunciation is exactly the same. But this board we're referring to, as in a board game, is B-O-A-R-D, not B-O-R-E-D. To be bored, no, aburrido.
That's right.
So, and there's the difference, no? So we call them board games because board is the tablero. It's the thing that you play the game on. Like Monopoly, you have a Monopoly board. Or chess, ajedrez, no? The chess board. So these kind of games that require a board, the thing you play on, we use that as the title. So we don't say table game. We say board
games.
That's right. But nothing to do with being bored. Now, you may or may not be bored playing. So some of these games, some people may think they're boring. Aburridos, no?
Yeah.
Like Monopoly. I love Risk. I was never bored playing Risk. But Monopoly, for me, it goes on too long.
And does it?
Yeah, in my opinion, it goes on for hours and hours or days.
Yeah.
And finally you get bored. Well, if you're winning is great, but if you're losing in Monopoly, you know you're going to lose and you know you're never going to win for hours before it finishes. So I think you tend to get a bit bored if you're losing Monopoly.
Yeah. I actually like both, to be honest. Yeah. I'm a big fan of both. I do like Monopoly and I do like Risk. In fact, you know, most board games I like.
You're a board game person. Yeah, you like.
Yeah,
me too, mainly. Although, Monopoly I definitely don't like, but a lot of others I do. Risk is my favorite, I think. Civilization, have you ever played that?
I might have. It's a very strategic game as well.
Strategy
right?
Civilization. Games
Yeah, they're fun. They are fun. They're really good. So good. Yeah. I mean, you touched on that whole point there of like board and it being a board. You need a board for a board game. And it kind of comes to the fact that the board is kind of made in this case of sort of paper. And of course, paper originates from wood, right? And that's kind of where the whole idea of board comes from, right? A board, something that you can play on, especially when you're playing chess. It's also wood.
Chess would be wood. Yeah. So it's wood or maybe paper. Usually rectangle. Well, I suppose chess is square. Can be square, rectangular. Usually, you don't tend to have circular boards, really, I can think of. So most of these board games or boards, sorry, games using a board, the board will be square in the case of chess. And in most cases, like Monopoly, Risk, etc., it tends to be a sort of rectangle shape, no?
Yeah,
and it's a board. So I suppose, it comes from like a piece of wood or hard paper, no?
Because then we came up with other sort of words that also use this particular word board, right? And there's a very strong connection to the whole idea
of many
things like
types of board, you know, basically.
That's right.
There are all
many
sorts
types
of similar things, really.
That's right.
There's a whole list of them we came up with.
Yeah, like a surfboard, a skateboard, a notice board, a whiteboard, a blackboard even, which is kind of interesting because, of course, they use slate. It was originally actually slate, wasn't
it? Yeah, and that came to very old ones. Obviously, now we don't have blackboards. They tend to be whiteboards. I suppose they're made of...
That's right, whiteboards,
some kind of plastic or something, not quite sure. Obviously, with time, these boards that maybe originally would have been made of a harder substance like slate or wood... Maybe now it might be made out of plastic or some other material, but it's still a board, cutting board. So when you're cooking in the kitchen, one of the essential things is that is made of wood. Well, or plastic, depends. The good ones are made
absolutely
of wood.
Absolutely as well.
Or more expensive ones. So you need a nice cutting board to cut your vegetables or whatever with a knife.
Yeah.
So they're all sort of similar. I suppose in Spanish, many of them would be tablero, would be the word. Maybe some of them might have a different pizarra when you talk about blackboard.
Yeah.
But basically, it's a similar concept, isn't it? So you've got this object, maybe made of wood or some other material, that you do something with it. You're either cutting things on it, writing on it in the terms of a whiteboard, blackboard, no, playing games on it, standing on it, skateboard, surfboard.
Yeah.
So you've sort of got this thing, this object, this tablero, if you like, and then you're doing something with it, and there are various activities, you could say, no, that you can
absolutely
use it for.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And we even came up with one expression, right? Mm. Because you can actually, there's another word that you can use in terms of board, which is a drawing board. And when you think of a drawing board, this takes me back to when I was at university and I was studying architecture. And I can remember my first year, they kind of said, okay, these are the things that you're going to need in your first year. And one of them was literally a drawing board. And so I had to go out and buy a drawing board. I can remember that, because then we had to kind of go to the...
They didn't
provide it. I had to buy us. Yeah, no, I had to go and buy my own drawing board. Yeah.
Wow. Was it expensive? I have no idea.
They weren't particularly cheap, you know. It wasn't one of the best things in the world, you know. You get them fairly cheap, but they're quite big. They're huge, you know. It's like
a board to draw.
It's like A0. Yeah. You know, A0. So, you know, you can imagine. And so I can remember it being a few hundred pounds at that time.
Oh, right. Well,
so, you know, it wasn't
for a student
cheap. Yeah.
As well.
It's yeah.
A lot of money.
Exactly. Here. Exactly. Exactly. So then I got my drawing board and I set it up in the studio. We had our own studio where we would literally be, you know, drawing on huge pieces of paper like you can imagine architects do. And I enjoyed that a lot. But what we did think about when we're talking about drawing boards is one particular expression, right, Alistair?
Yeah, well, I don't know how often you had to go back to the drawing board, and that is the expression, to go back to the drawing board, so return to the drawing board. So how often was that a common thing, having to go back to the drawing board? In terms of the expression,
kind of
not literally, well, in this case, is literally going back to the
literally,
drawing board.
Literally, yeah. Yeah, and I suppose we should explain what this means, but to go back to the drawing board, I suppose I had to do it a few times, especially at the beginning, right?
Yeah,
when
learning,
I had, yeah, I'm learning and probably did it all wrong. And so literally had to get a new piece of paper out and go back to the drawing board, which is kind of like, as we were saying before we were recording, it doesn't mean that you have to start right from the beginning, right? It's just that you're maybe you haven't done it quite right.
Yeah. Redesigning.
Yeah. Rethink
it,
the idea, right? Rethink the concept.
Yeah.
Because it's not worked well, you know, because like if you're presenting a project to a client, for example, this is a good way of explaining it, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe you show the building or the design to the client and then the client doesn't like it. And so then you would say, oh, well, we'll have to go back to the drawing board for this concept, you know, which is literally, you would go literally back to the drawing board if you're an architect. But yeah. If
it doesn't have
yeah,
to be
yeah,
a literal physical board that
no,
you
that's
draw
right.
on, but you
that's
have
right.
an
that's
idea, right. a design, an idea for a product or whatever it may be. And then obviously you try to put that in practice in some way. But then, yeah, as you say, if the client doesn't like it, it could be an advertising campaign. No, so you're working
absolutely,
an advertising
yeah.
company. You've come up with this what you think is maybe a brilliant idea for advertising the product. Mm. You as a good word here, pitch.
Yeah.
Just come up with this now. So pitch is like a football pitch, is campo de football, but in this case as a verb, to pitch an idea is to try to sell, well, explain and sell your idea to another person.
Yeah.
So, you know, you would
that's
be
right.
pitching your idea to the client about this is how we've got this brilliant idea, this is how we're going to sell your product, this is the design, the image we're going to use, and they go, no, doesn't work, I don't like it. They're not happy with it for some reason. Maybe they like some of it, part of it, but not the whole thing. Say, no, not what we were really looking for. So you have to go back to the drawing board. Either maybe literally that you've got, you know, something drawn on a piece of paper or a whiteboard.
Yeah.
But it's just you've got to go back to your idea and go, okay, how can we change it, alter it, make it better, improve it? And then you take it back to the client and try to pitch it again. Okay, we made those changes you suggested. We've come up with a better design idea, and maybe this time they go, yeah, brilliant, that's exactly what we want.
Yeah,
so it's that
going, it's a good word to pitch something.
People are selling things, that have their sales pitch, which is their little you know, they repeat it, this thing, their little speech, if you like. No,
yeah that's a good one. It's a good one, definitely. Yeah,
so maybe they maybe you don't have to start from scratch completely,
no,
which is worse in a way, because start from scratch, another expression is Spanish people usually say start from zero, because in Spanish is empezar desde cero. If you said start from zero, people would understand what you mean, makes sense, but we don't tend to say that. We tend to say scratch. Now that is a bit strange, no, because what does scratch mean literally, Daniel?
Yeah, arrascar, right? Yeah, like scratch. Yeah. You've got a, if you've got a woolly jumper and it makes you, you know,
itchy.
Is very itchy. Yeah, you start scratching.
Your skin is itching or itchy, we say. You need to scratch your itch, no?
That's right.
So why start from scratch means start from nothing or zero. I've no idea. It's a very strange expression when you think about it. But it's an expression we use, very common expression. So yeah, you can either start from scratch, so start completely. Maybe the in the idea, the example I gave with the app, they say, we hate this idea, absolute rubbish, don't like it at all. We don't like any of it. And you say, okay, we'll have to start from scratch. So completely from nothing, from the beginning. But, you know, going back to the drawing board is, we like some of it. It's okay, but could be better. So you can you go back to maybe in your case as the architect. You maybe have to completely start with nothing from the beginning. You go, okay, you just need to make some alterations, some changes, some improvements to your original design.
Yeah.
So it's sort of slightly different going back to the drawing board and starting from scratch. A similar idea.
Slightly different. Absolutely. Good, good. So there you go. One particular expression with board, to go back to the drawing board, which is kind of useful. It's kind of useful if you can get that into your vocabulary. It's a nice way of saying, okay, we have to rethink this.
Yeah, it's right? Like
we
have rethinking, to rethink. Redesign.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you ever had to go back to the drawing board? I think we spoke about this before we started recording and you did come up with an example.
A little bit with my social media strategy, I have to say. When I started on LinkedIn many, many years ago, it was kind of a very interesting process because I started posting a few things and didn't really work at all, got zero likes for at least two or three weeks, and I thought, well, this is really is this worth continuing with this? And I think I left it then for, you know, I just thought, well, this is not really worth my time, you know. And so then after a few months, and I can remember the moment that I suddenly thought, okay, well, maybe I'll try doing this. And it was in the summer. And I thought, okay, maybe if I just pick up a few ideas from my sessions and, you know, they're original ideas, not from anybody else. They're kind of literally come from the sessions that I've had with my clients. And that suddenly resonated with the audience. And that was like very, very, that was the beginning. That was the beginning. So kind of in a way, I went back to the drawing board. I didn't kind of,
It was a mixture of get rid of the idea. Like, I'm not going to do LinkedIn. Not LinkedIn, as I say, and Spanish people say, is LinkedIn.
You do.
I have to think twice to say LinkedIn, not LinkedIn.
LinkedIn.
So it wasn't that the basic idea was wrong. So, yeah, I think this is a good medium that I can use that could be useful. It was rethinking your strategy. No?
Yeah.
How are you going to use it? What's the best way to do it? So it didn't work initially. So, and then you went back to the drawing board, although not literally a drawing board in this case. You weren't an architect anymore. You're an English teacher or an English promoter of English language. And you thought, okay, how can I do this better? How would it work better? And you did. You went back to the drawing board, started again, and it worked.
Yeah.
And now you've got, I don't know, thousands of people reading your LinkedIn posts.
Yes, many, many. That's right. So, yeah, in a way, I went back to the drawing board. I didn't really kind of go, you know, didn't start from scratch, let's say, because, you know, I still had my account. You know, I still had, you know, a few followers. So I didn't throw everything out the window, let's say. So I did go back to the drawing board in terms of my sort of strategy, my social media strategy. So, yeah, you go. There you go. One nice expression to go back to the drawing board. But then there are other things also with this one word. It's like an amazing word, this, isn't it? I know. It's a crazy word.
It is a crazy word with so many meanings or uses. Yes. It can be very confusing because it's got so many meanings and uses. That's right.
I suppose it's because maybe wood is included in many different aspects of life. I'm not sure.
Yeah, could be.
Could be, you know. Because the next one is actually a verb, isn't it? It's to board something. To board something. So you might board a plane, you might board a ship.
Yeah.
Right?
And then when you board it, you're on board.
That's right.
Know, when you're sitting on the plane, you're on board. When you're on the ship, the boat, you're on board. So first you have to board, so it's like embarcar. And then when you're on the ship, you say, we're on board. No? Now, I think that's the most common. I think a lot of listeners will know that meaning.
Yeah.
Or they'll know it from airports where they have a boarding card.
That's
and
right.
A lot of people know that's that right. in English from, you know, websites of airlines and things refer to it as the boarding card. Tarjeta de embarcación, I think in Spanish it would be, no? So, yeah, this concept of boarding a plane and you need a boarding card gives you the right or the permission or whatever to do that. No, you have to show your boarding card when you check in at the airport. So, yeah, there's a totally different meaning, really, to chessboard, risk board.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Whiteboard, all the other. It's hard to think of how surfboard can be the same meaning as boarding an aeroplane. No.
Well, that's why I said this whole idea about wood, because when you go on to presumably the boats in the past would have had wooden decks, wouldn't
they? The deck,
they?
As we they would call have, it,
you know, is you know, made the deck of wood. Of a ship.
So you are standing on the wood like a surfboard.
Of the ship.
Sort of.
That's right. That's right. So presumably that's where it comes from.
I imagine.
Right?
You're
kind of like you're on board. That's
right. You're physically on the board, which is the deck, as it's correctly called. Yeah. But it is a kind of a board, yes, I suppose.
Yes.
So there is some, you know, some logic there that you can go, oh, yeah, okay. We had to think about this because usually native speakers, we don't really think. It's just that's how you say it. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And we don't necessarily connect them in any way, even though the word is the same word. We're not connecting them. We're just going, well, yeah, you're on board a ship and you board a ship and I'm playing Risk on the risk board and writing on the blackboard. And but then we started kind of thinking about it, going, maybe there is sort of a connection there. There's some logic involved.
That's kind of, I always find that very interesting, is like when an expression is so embedded in your language that you don't actually think about it literally.
Yeah.
It's like it happened to me a few days ago where I was trying to explain the whole idea and concept of sigue en pie, right? Oh. So like a meeting, like sigue en pie, like is it still going to go ahead, right? And I kind of was playing with those words and obviously playing with the word foot because like pie is foot, right? But then some Spanish speakers came back to me and said, why are you playing? What's it got to do with the word foot? Do you know what I mean? And because like probably it's does like when it's so ingrained in your native language, you don't even think about the literal meaning, right?
No,
it just kind of it's very
well, you don't
funny
make
in that
connections
way,
between things. It's like, well, it's interesting.
No,
when you're teaching English for many, many years, is when you actually start learning or realizing things about your own language that you'd never thought of before.
That's true,
because you're having to explain. You know, things or explain expressions or, and then suddenly go, oh yes, I never thought about that before, that, you know, that makes sense that it's this or it doesn't make sense or, oh, it's connected to this. So you make all kinds of links and connections because
true.
When you speak
That's
your
true.
Own language, you don't think about these things. You just speak, you know. And
That happened to me with the word protagonist, for example, right? In English, I was like not 100% sure where the word protagonist really existed in English. But of course, in Spain, protagonismo is like really, really common. And so like so many people would ask to me, oh, ¿cómo se dice protagonista? You know, and I'd be like, can you say protagonist? And I was like, well, I don't think so, you know.
Not sure.
Like, but then later on, I found out that you can say that in English, the protagonist, right?
Just we don't use it that often. We tend to say the...
That's right.
What would it be? The main character, I think, is
the main character. That's right. Yeah, the main character.
Yeah, but protagonist.
So it's just
exists,
funny
so you also
how these
discover
things,
words.
Yeah.
So you're not really. Oh, yes, we do have that word. It's just that we
don't
we use
do
it
have
very
that word.
Often, perhaps.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah,
good. So there you go. So to board a plane, you can be on board once you're there. You're sitting there. Mm-hmm. But this does also have a very business connection, doesn't it, really? Because you can also obviously be on the board of directors.
Yeah.
Right.
Different again.
The board of directors. Again, completely different.
So just putting the change. So on board, you're on board the plane. I'm on the board. You say the board of what?
That's
the board of directors of Telefonica or Baby OER, whatever company, Coca-Cola. Yeah, so to be on the board, nothing to be... No, so you're not on board, you're on the board. The board of a
just
company.
Just adding article, right?
Yeah. By adding that article, you're changing the meaning again. So you have the boardroom. So you've actually got a room called the board room. It doesn't mean a room where you get bored, as in, oh, this is boring. Well, you know, a lot of board meetings.
You've
got the board room where you have the board meeting, and the board meetings might be very boring, and you might be bored.
Yeah.
So it's very confusing, obviously different spelling, different meaning. So the company directors who run the company, if you like, they are the board of the company. And you are a board member or you're on the board of whatever company it is. And you have your board meetings in the boardroom, which is the designated place in the building of the company, the headquarters where the directors meet or the board members meet.
That's
now,
right.
Whether that that's comes right, from, we started thinking about, where's the connection with the tablero or the board? Well, maybe the table. There's usually a very big table
maybe, yeah.
made of wood.
And that's probably, that's made of wood for sure.
Yeah, maybe 100%. That's where it comes from. You're sitting around a table that's like a sort of board, but no idea.
That's right.
We're just, you know, yeah. imagining where the origin of this could be. But
it must be. It must, it must be. Must, it's got to do with wood.
Got to be
it's
with wood again.
With wood, for sure.
And this rectangular yeah. object.
yeah,
but you're sitting sure. around in this case, no?
Yeah, but I just hope that this episode's not boring, Alistair. I don't think it is.
I hope not, that, you know, we're boring people with the word bored. But there's just so many meanings of it. Yeah, so we started this
I
with
know,
one
it's
idea,
like incredible.
And then we just went, you know, oh yeah, this meaning, oh, and that meaning, oh, and there's another one. So there's still
that's
more
right.
to come. We haven't finished yet.
There is. Yeah, no, there is. One really important one, right, which is I find quite interesting as well in terms of the translation, which is the whole idea of boarding school. Mm. And there is also like a cultural context here, which is kind of very interesting as well, because obviously the whole idea of boarding school in the UK is normally something that is quite expensive to send your children to. Boarding school is not cheap at all. It's yeah quite different in certainly in Spain, the whole idea of an internado, right? But in the UK, if you have sufficient funds, you can send your children to a boarding school, which basically means that you send them off and you won't see them for like 2 or 3 months, and then they come back, I don't know, little bit more educated, I suppose.
Yeah, it used to be very, I think it's less common these days, I would imagine. Modern parents don't want to be separated from their young children, because when you think
sure.
about it, it's a terrible, well, depends on your interpretation, I suppose, but I think these days most people would find it quite, well, you, Daniel, I mean, you're a modern father, you've got young kids, could you imagine sending your kids off to England at the age of, because people in England in the past, I think less these days, used to send their kids off to boarding school really young, so it wasn't like teenager,
yeah.
it was like
absolutely
a, you know, the age of 6 and 7, 8.
Yeah,
they'd send them off maybe to another part of the country or another country even. So in your case, it'd be like sending your two kids off to England to a boarding school. Maybe you only see them at Christmas and summer or something, you know.
I know.
You could go a month. Yeah. I think that would be probably unimaginable for you and your wife.
No, yeah, it would be. It would be. It would be very, very difficult for us to imagine. But I suppose, you know, previous generations
didn't think of
they
it
kind of
before
thought
this was normal.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. And they kind of like, they certainly had a rest.
Well,
while
a rest
the kids
from their
were
kids,
away.
That's true. I think it was all part of this thing of, you know, becoming a man or becoming, you know, learn
maybe,
to be
yeah.
responsible and adult and to grow up and not be dependent on your parents. Now, that's fine
well,
at
that's
the age
right.
of maybe
right,
18
yeah.
going to university, like we did, as we've talked about in previous episodes. But, you know, expecting some 7 or 8 year old to come on, be a man, learn to live without your parents at the age of 7 or 9 or 10 or whatever it may be is seems very hard now, no?
Yeah, hard, harsh.
Very
yeah,
harsh,
absolutely.
Very hard, very unemotional.
Which
the British have a reputation even today of being, and especially in the past.
Yes,
they're quite
absolutely.
Cold and very strict.
That's right. Off you go and become a man.
Yeah, yeah.
Or
and
a
I don't
woman,
want to see you for 6 months
right.
and learn to play rugby like a man.
Yeah, but at the same time, it was an expensive thing to do, right?
Yeah,
so not everybody could do that.
It was associated
right?
with the upper class or the middle. The,
it was.
The people
it
with
was,
money.
Yeah.
I mean, not working class people would never. It was just wasn't possible.
No.
But it was a certain
sort
of class of people with money, certain attitudes, shall we say.
Because those schools were not only expensive, but they were prestigious, right?
They could
and
be very
even
prestigious,
if,
yeah.
I mean, one of the most famous schools in the UK is Eton, for example.
They're all
and that is famously
go there.
A boarding school, right?
Yeah.
It's a boarding school.
So the kids are rich and famous and politicians and the royal family. You know, I think Prince Charles and they all went to Eton or some, if not Eton, another. There are 2 or 3 very famous boarding schools that are very expensive and they tend to be, you know, very high class people. So it's quite fascinating. It's a whole cultural thing in UK, you know, about
it
boarding
is
schools
it is yeah
which I'm not sure necessarily in Spain has that same connection.
No, I think it's slightly different. I think it's slightly different. Yes
but anyway,
yes,
whole topic
definitely.
There are all kinds of books and films and TV series and all kinds of things all based around the boarding school.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Very strict as well, incredibly strict and very traditional, no, and conservative and quite old-fashioned and very violent in the past. Now is illegal, but, you know, all these, when you often see films or read books about boarding schools back in the past, is they're incredibly violent. I mean, you know, basically the teachers could, you know, punish you physically in terrible ways. So there's all kinds of people I think got, you know, traumatized.
Absolutely.
And had to end up seeing, you know, psychiatrists and psychologists about their experience of boarding school.
It's in boarding schools, absolutely. Yeah.
Anyway, interesting.
It's true that films are often based in that.
But I hope today.
Harry Potter, for example. I think Harry Potter is
Hogwarts.
Harry Potter is
school.
Like, yeah.
There you go. There's the
that's
most
a boarding,
famous
that's a boarding school. There you go.
Of a boarding school.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten about that completely. Yeah, there is your classic boarding school in the sort of mythology of, you know, British.
Yeah.
Although obviously a lot of fun there as opposed to some of the ones that
people,
there was no
that's
magic
true.
In Eton, I don't think, or playing in whatever it's called. I can't remember the sport, flying around on broomsticks.
Yeah, sure.
A lot less fun. Anyway, so that's a boarding school. So I can't.
That's a boarding
there
school.
There I can't
yes.
see any connection with a board, as in neither boarding a plane or a chessboard. Or
that's true. Yeah,
just
there's
don't
no
see
wood
that
there
there's
involved,
no wood
there?
Or
not
rectangular
really.
Objects
no.
involved.
No.
So I don't know why it's called a boarding school. Although,
that's right.
We will go on to another meaning that there is some connection.
Yes. And this is kind of related. And maybe people will have noticed this sort of vocabulary when they've booked hotels, Alistair? Because
sites,
this is.
In English,
sure. Yeah. Like if you go on booking.com or, you know, more in hotels, I suppose, than sort of self.
Yeah, hotels, isn't it? And you might be booking a hotel in an English-speaking country in England, USA, and you will probably see these expressions and think, what does that mean?
Yeah, it's basically the idea of media pension, or basically that sort of idea, you know, how often you're going to eat.
Yeah, or pension completa, that's the other.
Yeah, pension completa, that's
so it's basically to do with food, isn't it? So it's staying in a hotel, sleeping in a hotel, obviously. But then do you have your meals included in the price or not? So you can choose just to stay in the hotel, or a bed and breakfast is a famous thing.
Yeah.
But if you have media pension, is breakfast plus one other meal, no? So it's, I think it's breakfast and lunch or breakfast and dinner. You can usually choose which you prefer. And what's that called, Daniel, in English?
Yeah, this is kind of, this is crazy, isn't it? This is crazy. But yeah, it's basically, we're using this, going to use the same word. We're not going anywhere else. We basically say half board or full board, which is crazy. Isn't
it? So three meals
why
full board. And here, why board?
That's right.
Again, don't see any connection with tableros
boards. No.
Or embarcar or any other meaning we've so far. Or the, I can't remember what you say, board of directors in Spanish, is the La Junta Directiva, I think, possibly. Mm. So none of those seem to have anything to do with the food, the number of meals that you have included in a hotel. So I'm not, again, where does that come from? So there's another meaning.
Yeah, we need to look into that.
Yeah, and a boarding school, you go, oh, is it food? Well, obviously, if you stay in a boarding school, they feed you by definition because you're staying there. But really, a boarding school, what it means is you're not coming home every evening from school to your home. You're staying. So boarding school really is sleeping in a place, staying in a place. But when you talk about hotels, it's not the sleeping in the hotel. It's the meals that you have in the hotel. So then it means food. So it's changed its meaning, really. From boarding school where you stay or you sleep, you don't go home. Well, you go home eventually, but not Monday to Friday at least, you know, or till the school holidays. You're staying there, aren't you? And of course they feed you, by definition, I hope. But you know, in a hotel, you stay in the hotel and you can have no board, meaning no food.
That's right.
You do your own.
That's right.
Or you go out or whatever. But half board, full board. So here board is the meals that you have in a hotel.
Yeah.
So very strange, really. This word is crazy when you start thinking.
Absolutely. But it's an important one, right? It's important. Yeah. If we go back, right back to the beginning, when we're talking about, you know, that game that you were playing, that board game that you were playing with your brother and your friend, it is a bit of vocabulary, I have to say, that Spanish speakers find really difficult to remember. And I don't know why. I don't know why. It's kind of like a mystery, let's say. But it's very rare for a Spanish speaker to come up to me and say, you know, oh, you know, I love playing board games. You know, like that is, I don't hear it very often, right? And there are a lot of people who love board games.
It's a translation problem, isn't it? From La Mesa, and assuming it must be the same, but it isn't. But then I do understand why they'd, you know, been able to use this word in all these meanings that we've come up with so far. obviously is very difficult. That makes sense because one word can have so many different uses and meanings is complicated. And I imagine a lot of our listeners may know some of these. That I think they'll know to board a plane and the boarding card. There's the most
all
famous.
Of that. That's
But I doubt they would know most of the others that we've come up with. If they do, well done. That's but yeah, but
absolutely.
Being able to know that word and use it in all those different situations correctly is pretty difficult. So, which is why we're
really
doing this today.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because I think we started off with the idea of just the expression, no? To go back to the drawing board. And from that one expression, we go, bored. Oh, that has other meanings, doesn't it? And then, you know, here we are now. After there any more left? Have we covered them all?
Well, probably there are, but, you know, like, I think that's probably enough for our listeners. Yeah. Mm. So anyway, Alistair, thank you very much for your time. Maybe it would be just worth going through those quickly, just so that everybody... It's a bit of a long list, but I think I can do it. I think I can do it. So we started off with board games, okay, which is obviously what we just spoke about just now. Then we had the drawing board of my time when I was an architect. Then there were lots of different actual physical boards, like a skateboard, a whiteboard, a drawing board, or a notice board, which is... Surfboard, absolutely, yeah. Then you have the kind of like more action element, which is to board a plane, the process of obviously getting on a plane. And then when you are on that plane, you are actually on board. Then you have the more business side of things where you might be on the board of directors. And then finally, there was this whole thing about a boarding school, which is obviously you can send your kids to the boarding school and not see them for a few months. And at a
I'm sure sometimes you feel like doing that, Daniel. But you,
I'm sure lots of parents feel like.
But then after a few days, you'd miss them, wouldn't you? That's always the case.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Sure. And then when you go to the hotel, you can have half board or full board.
Yeah.
So there you go, Alistair. That was the quick roundup. That was
very well done.
Crazy,
very well done.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. So thank you very much for your time, Alistair. And we will be back next week. And as I say, I think this episode was pretty interesting. I don't think it was boring.
So I hope our listeners are not bored listening to an episode all about bored. But spelled differently.
All right,
remember,
take it
spelled
easy.
Differently,
absolutely.
Important.
The spelling is important. The spelling is important. All right, Alistair, thank you
a
very
pleasure
much.
As always.
Speak soon.
Cheers.
All right. See you. Bye-bye.